The new Portals of Prayer devotional Bible is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. This devotional resource contains the entire English Standard Version of the Bible with 700 devotions from Portals of Prayer. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or learn more about Portals of Prayer devotional Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Portals of Prayer devotional Bible.
So if our position is going to be, I'm not going to be involved in this and wait until they tell me that I can't say Jesus died for your sins. The second they tell you, you can't say these things are sins without punishment, they're telling you that you can't preach that Jesus died for those sins.
No, everyone is not a minister. You are baptized a Christian, you become a minister or a pastor.
In fact, we should not imitate Luther in his weakness and his bad behavior and be quite ready and willing, of course, to disagree with him if he disagrees with the Holy Scripture.
There is a general belief within evangelicalism that the gospel is the thing that is preached to the unbeliever. The gospel is in the rearview mirror pretty much for the rest of your Christian life.
Farmers in South Dakota listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
It is one of the greatest events in the life of God's people in the Old Testament. It's something that will be remembered, repeated, recalled over and over again, family after family, generation after generation. And it has very strong implications for not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament. There is Moses alone on the mountain with God. He has been called up there because God is making a covenant with his people. And that covenant takes the form in the first place of 10 words, 10 commandments. And this is something that God gives to his people. They don't receive it the way he gives it, but it is nonetheless something that he gives. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on God giving Moses the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest a little bit later. Dr. Craig Evans, author of several books, including Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence, joins us to talk about the discovery of a road in Jerusalem commissioned by Pontius Pilate. They have really, really good evidence that it was commissioned during his time. Holly Shear joins us after that. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, These Health Violations at Illinois Abortion Facilities Will Make You Sick, and they will. We'll talk about those violations. Then it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. The comment line, 618-223-8382. You can also contact us via Twitter at our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson where God gives Moses the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Good day.
Should we regard the Ten Commandments as God's gift?
That's an excellent question. For some years now, when I teach youth confirmation, that's how I approach them, as God's gifts. And let me give you an example of what I mean by that. Most people, when they read Exodus 20, they think that, well, here are the commandments that I need to follow in order to make God my God. And therefore, as I am obedient, God will then like me, love me, and maybe even save me. In fact, even the Apostle Paul spoke of that way in regard to the Ten Commandments, namely Romans chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. And that's a really important point to recognize, because every other religion in the world looks at commandments in that way, that through obedience, we therefore will live. But all you need to do is read the first two verses of Exodus 20 to see that that doesn't make any sense, because God begins, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God. Oh, you want evidence for that? I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Then he begins what we refer to as the Ten Commandments, although they're really referred to as the Ten Words, not commandments. A Decalogue is the English for Ten Words. And why is that important? Well, let's just take a look at the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. Is that a command in the imperative, or is it something else? And I was really helped by a professor at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, understanding this. This is not imperatives. These are future indicatives. In other words, once I am the Lord your God, and you know that because I brought you out of the land of Egypt, then you shall have no other gods before me. This is really important that God is saying in the commandments, this is a gift. What are the gifts? We can go through each of the commandments. The first commandment, that you shall have no other gods before me, he gives himself to us. Now, why is that important? The way I would analogize this, I liked to stay after school when I was a kid playing baseball. And my parents, they had this kind of rule for me. Be home at 5 o'clock, because that's when we eat supper. Now, I recognize that as a gift. By being home at 5 o'clock, I got a free meal. Not that I got the meal because I was rewarded for it by being home. No, it was kind of a future indicative. If you're home at 5 o'clock, you'll have a free supper. And that's how these commandments were originally meant, because they aren't necessary in order to become right with God. God already is right with you, because I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. What he would say to us today, I am the Lord your God who died on the cross for you. Therefore, when you recognize that, when you have proper faith, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, notice that in Israel, when they were in bondage to Assyria or the Babylons, guess what? It's because they no longer had faith that the true God was the true God. And so your question, you can go through each of the commandments. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had two gifts. They could walk and talk with God, and God would talk with them. That was a tremendous gift that they were having. Well, God restores that gift in the second and third commandment. You want to talk to God? If you believe in me, you will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. In other words, for a purpose for which it was not intended. You'll use his name properly in talking to him. And that's what we do in a worship service. And how about God talking to us? That's the gift of the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, the word Sabbath doesn't mean seventh. It means day of rest. And in the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, that occurred on Saturday. In the New Testament, it can occur any day of the week. But that's a gift from God. When you go to a worship service and rest in God's word, you hear the gift of God speaking to you. Fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. What's the gift? Parents. Can you imagine a baby is born and then left by itself. There are very few babies in the animal world, newborn, that can exist by themselves. They always need some parent helping them in the first stages of their life. The fifth commandment, you shall not murder. What's the gift? It's life. God has given you physical life. The next commandment, you shall not steal. What's the gift? Possessions. Those possessions are from God. You don't own anything that God didn't give to you. In fact, often, like last Sunday at church, when they brought the offering up, I said, we give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. The next commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What's the gift? A good reputation. Now, I don't care about my reputation among people as I care about my reputation among God. And therefore, if, as God says, I am the Lord your God, either because I brought you out of the land of Egypt or I died on the cross for you, therefore, trusting his promises, God looks on me in a favorable way. I have a good reputation with God. And then the commandments, you shall not covet. And there's two of them there. Well, what is coveting? Coveting is the desire in a sinful way to have something you don't have. But the gift God gives you, he promises to take care of you as the birds in the air, the flowers in the field, that we never will truly be needing or in want. And so God's promises to watch over us, to be there when we call upon him in the day of prayer, that's why we don't need to covet, and we have that gift of his friendship. Now, that makes a big difference when you understand the commandments as gifts. Because if you don't understand them as gifts and you disobey them, that's simply disobedience. And a lot of religions, that's how they look at breaking the commandments. It's only a form of disobedience. So how do you correct that? They tell you, well, start obeying. And if you obey, then you can counter your disobedience. But once more, God is very clear in his Bible that no one can counter the disobedience that we do, because it is impossible for a human being, once they have sinned, to save themselves. Just take a look at when the disciples asked Jesus after his conversation with the rich man in Mark 10, who then can be saved? Jesus says, with men it is impossible. And so it's important to realize God did not give the law in order that we might become righteous in his sight. In fact, that's what Romans 10 says. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But in that same passage, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And so I think it makes a big difference when a child recognizes that when they break these commandments, they're not just being disobedient, they're throwing back to God a gift, throwing it right back into his face, a gift that they have been given about himself, being able to talk to him, hearing him talk to them, the parents, the life. We had skipped, thou shalt not commit adultery. What's the gift there? A marriage. A great marriage is a tremendous gift. And possessions, not stealing, good reputation and therefore not coveting what other people have in a sinful way. These all are gifts from God. Now, they turned into commandments and judgments when we broke them, not because we were doing disobedience, but every act of disobedience is not only a rejection of God's gifts to us, but more so is an act of idolatry. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You cannot break any of these sayings from God without committing idolatry, setting up another god. And who is that god? It's me. And that's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. A believer, when he or she does good works by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's because they trust the promises of God. That's what faith means. Whereas an unbeliever who doesn't abide by these rules from God, that is always out of self-interest, not out of Christ's interest. And so from that point of view, you can really do a lot of talking about these 10 words from God and the importance not only about how they are gifts, but how you are really despising God, rebelling against him like did Adam and Eve, when you break these sayings from God.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll talk about how God gave Moses these 10 commandments on Sinai in Exodus chapter 20. On the other side of the break, we're teaching a Sunday school lesson. He's host of the radio program called Law and Gospel.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with mortgage and auto loans, checking and savings accounts, credit and debit cards. Lutheran FCU's Ministry of the Month for October is Lutheran Education Association. When you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, they'll give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Lutheran Education Association. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Emmanuel Lutheran, Arcadia, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. St. John Lutheran, Corcoran, Minnesota. Holy Shepherd Lutheran, Haslett, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Los Alamos, New Mexico. Peace Lutheran, Rapid City, South Dakota. And Calvary Lutheran, Lititz, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about God giving Moses the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 with Pastor Tom Baker. Here is the Portals of Prayer devotion that attends the 20th chapter of Exodus in the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for October, Portals of Prayer Devotional Bible. It's talking about God's jealousy, keying off the verse Exodus 20, verse 5, "Do not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." It says God's jealousy is his righteous anger directed at the evil and its producer, the counterfeit one, the father of lies. God is jealous for our benefit. In the face of fiercest danger, it is a protective shield over us and our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a little taste of the Portals of Prayer devotion there in the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for October, Portals of Prayer Devotional Bible. You can find out more about this at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Ask for the Book of the Month for October, Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for October, Portals of Prayer Devotional Bible. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tom, tell us a little bit about the manner in which God gives these commandments to Moses. The experience itself for both Moses and the people is pretty terrifying.
Yes. This is the mountain on which Moses had visited the burning bush. This is prior to his being sent by God to Egypt to deliver the people of Israel. And at that point, God said, one of the signs I'm giving you that what I'm saying is going to come true is you will return to this mountain. And sure enough, the people did. Now, I want to make a kind of comparison between the first time God gave a word to his people and Mount Sinai. The first time was, of course, to Adam and Eve. And the word is, "You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Now, that was a command to them, but with that, there was no thundering, there was no lightning. No, because they were sinless, and God is giving guidance to them as to how they live in this house, the same way my parents say, "Come on home at 5 o'clock, you'll get a free meal." However, by the time God brings his people, in light of the fact that they have fallen into sin, God therefore is showing them thunderings and lightnings. And in fact, in verse 18, "Now when the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood afar off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us, and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die.'" Now, Moses' answer is very interesting. "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you." Now, why would God want the people to fear him? "That we may not sin." This is why Martin Luther, I believe in his explanation of the commandments, almost each one of them, "You should fear and love and trust in God above all things." Why is that fear necessary? Because it is a recognition on our part that God could send us to eternal condemnation because of the curse of the law. In the day that you sin, death shall be the result. And so when children fear God, tell them that that is a natural response when we first realize how God could send us to hell forever. But that fear can change into joy and comfort when we realize what, once more, going back to the New Testament, because Paul does such a good thing about this, where he says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Now, what does that mean? End of the law? That means we're not going to have any more law? Yes, but we're going to have a proper use of the law. It is an improper use to use the law to gain righteousness. And the harder you try, the more you will fear God because you recognize you're failing. And so people will make all kinds of excuses. So the purpose of the law, according to Romans 3:19, whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, thinking they're saved by the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world be held accountable to God. Now, being accountable to God, ooh, that's not a happy thing. Verse 20 continues, "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law doesn't come salvation, comes the knowledge of sin." So where do we get the righteousness of God? Not by obedience to the law, but the righteousness of God, verse 21, Romans 3, has been manifested apart from the law, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who obey? No, for all who believe. So the law is very good. It can be used to curb violence, which the government does. It can also be used to inform you of what God's will is for you when you have questions about it. And it also, and this is its primary use in the world, to accuse people of having failed to obey it so that they then realize they need a savior. So proper use of the law is very good, but improper use to gain righteousness is not only what the world's religions teach, but it is false teaching, and we are then comforted by recognizing that, yes, we could be held accountable by God, but with the forgiveness of sins, that means God no longer holds us accountable.
With a few minutes left to us here, Tom, talk about why we continue to teach our children these commandments first given Moses and the people there at Sinai, why it is part of the catechism in which our children will be faithfully instructed.
Yes, your last part was really important. I teach my children and I send them to school to learn proper science so that they know that if they try to jump out of a third-story window thinking they can fly, there's something called gravity that's going to take place. So also in the spiritual realm, God not only sets up guidelines for our lives, but he also sets up consequences when we break those guidelines. I mean, whoever has heard of a divorce that takes place and the kids are all happy about it? Every time we break God's commandments, we teach them to our children so that they can be safe in the arms of Jesus. It doesn't mean that there will not be suffering and violence, but it also means that God will never leave them nor forsake them through that time. So the commandments are critical, but we're talking about the moral commandments. Children and adults are no longer under the ceremonial commandments of the Old Testament or the civil commandments. We have our own civil commandments God has set up through our leaders, and we no longer need a ceremonial circumcision and killing lambs at the altar because Jesus has fulfilled all that with his death on the cross. And that's why the best words we hear from the cross to the Father are, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And when that comes to a person through faith in Jesus Christ, the God to whom we are held accountable no longer holds us accountable for our sin because Jesus has paid the price that we were unable to pay.
With about a minute, the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children.
The simple law is God gives us commandments as gifts, and look what we do. We throw these gifts back in the face of God. I think that's a better way than just talking about we're disobedient, because you'll get the impression, well, let's just become obedient and offset it. No. To throw a gift back into the face of someone. Imagine at Christmas you get a new bicycle, but it's the wrong kind, and you throw it down and walk out of the room. How do you repair that? You can't. And that's why the gospel is, even though we can't repair it, our parents may still come and hug us, say they love us, and we therefore have what's called true repentance. We are sorry for what we have done because of our love for our parents. And that's how Christianity works. We are sorry in throwing back the gifts of God into his face because he continues to hug us, and we therefore recognize his love, resulting in proper repentance and faith in Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We'll be talking about the discovery of a road that archaeologists believe was commissioned by Pontius Pilate, a challenging excavation that has revealed some, not just some, but many coins underneath the paving stones. What do they tell us? Dr. Craig Evans will be our guest to answer those questions next.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
The Holy Trinity addresses three important things for the reader.
Dr. Carl Beckwith talking about his book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, The Holy Trinity.
It explains the difficulties we face in confessing the Trinity in our world today. It shows how Scripture carefully and decisively presents the Trinity, and it rehearses the sound pattern of words used by the Church to clarify and defend the witness of Scripture.
Learn more about the Holy Trinity at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
You know what lasts forever? God's Word. Everything else fails, but not His Word. It holds and delivers exactly what He promises. His Word is so solid and lasting, you can build your life and hope of eternity on it. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily, verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. It all starts Reformation Day, October 31st. Learn more at thewordendures.org.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The Church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal. The 11th century. The 8th century. Holy Spirit, create. the 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.